Okay, so we've dealt with the possibility that the Egyptians were aware that there was no intent to return after 3 days, and all the variations of, therefore, what the payments were meant as. We dealt with the possibilities that, in fact, the original intention was 3 days. And things just changed when the Mitzrim, you know, chased them, because whatever confusion there was, or whatever the case may be. But then there is the possibility that you're probably most familiar with, which is why we saved it for last, which is that, no, indeed, the intent here was to deceive the Egyptians, and therefore the money that was being taken was taken under false pretenses, which may be legitimate, because, yes, they actually did owe them billions and billions of dollars for unpaid labor for hundreds of years, or because they were taking their property, right? The property swap, we talked about the possibility that was above board, but maybe it wasn't above board. It was just like, look, we know you're going to take our land, so like, let's get whatever payment we can for the land. And all variations on the theme that it is deception. Now, even within that, you can divide. Oh, I wake up children, I'm sorry. Now, the Ramban thinks that the Jews didn't know, meaning God's plan may be that this is, you know, 3 days, but the Jews don't know, which is helpful for understanding how it is that the Egyptians didn't find out about this, because it's sort of hard to keep a secret when millions of people know. You know, it's very
harder when millions of people are all Jews.
Bidyuk, you know, Me'achuz. I put my name. I will put my name behind that statement.
I would keep a world domination secret.
I'm just going to ignore that. I'm just going to ignore that. Okay. But again, the majority position is that they didn't. Right. This was indeed a deception. Now now some of the Mefarshim say that, you know, this is really part of the what is impressive, right? The Ibn Ezra, perhaps knowing Jews, right, said that what you learn from here is just how righteous the Jews were, that the Jews of this generation did not tell the secret. I'll read you his words. He says, "Vida ki davar gadalhu." This is quite impressive. They are perfect tzaddikim that they never let on the secret. And he said, by the way, it wasn't really a lie. He said, we'll go for 3 days. He didn't say he'll turn around after 3 days. We'll go for 3 days. And the Chalami will go for 3 days. Right? We'll go for 3 days and 4 days and 5 days and 6 days. Right? I never told you. You just implied that. That was your problem.
We'll go pray for 3 days. What happens after that?
I don't know. Right?
Why did no one ask that?
What? We'll you should have asked for clarity. So that's the Ibn Ezra says on this. So the Jews did know, and somehow they managed to keep it to deceive them.
The motivation for the Egyptians to give, regardless of whether the Jews were trying to fool them or not, what was the point of the Egyptians giving them their cash?
That's what we talked about. We've given like five different variations on this. Six, right? Again. Right, either they were scared. They wanted to get them out quickly, right? Some of them might have actually been friends, right? Or this was a trade for the real estate that they were leaving for them, right? Because they were leaving, or this was a present because they were leaving slavery, right? Hanaka, but now we're in the deception part. So they don't know what they're doing. So presumably this is because they're afraid, or they want to pacify God, right? I mean, they're afraid of God, and they said, we're going to serve God for 3 days. They said, good, take whatever you need to pacify that vindictive God of yours, and then come back. Now, again, you could get into the question of his deception permitted, right? Ibn Ezra is clearly a bit hesitant about this, which is why he comes up, it's not really deception, you know, it's not the whole truth, you know, it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but it's not a lie either.
But that they have a problem with deception here, but not with Yaakov?
No, no, they do the same thing there. But, okay. So why would you, right, why did Hashem do this, and why is it justified? I'm assuming there is some level of deception here, whether you call it a lie or not, right? Now we're just quibbling here. But so why would you do it? Some of the Midrashim say the point is, this is in the Shemot Rabbah, is because that was the only way to get the Egyptians to crit to the Yom Suf, to drown them. Or if they knew Me'ikara, that they were leaving forever, then they would never chase them. Because, you know, they've learned their lesson with God. God had to trick them into getting them out to the Yom Suf. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says that no, it's the opposite. That they would never have said yes, right? Despite it all, despite all the makot, they would never have said yes if they knew that this was forever.
You say, how many plagues does God have to bring before people realize, like...
What?
How many plagues do you have to bring before people agree? In that?
Well, in a chanami. Now, all of this would still... Now, you know, it could be that this was necessary to convince them to give them their money, right, as a loan. But again, this just broadens the question of why are we deceiving them, right? Why Dafka do it through deception? Again, there are variations, right? That maybe Moshe was scared. Shadal said that Moshe was scared that he would be killed if he dared to even verbalize, let them free forever. So he had to start with 3 days. That was a less bold-faced, you know, claim. But again, the fundamental question you've got to ask is the theological question, which is, even if you say that deception is permitted, and even if you say that it was necessary, still, like, I mean, it's not really necessary. God could have picked them up on a magic carpet and taking them to Israel if you wanted to. Clearly, in the end of the... And, you know, God, there's no... Like, even the Midrash, you have to ask, okay, he had to trick them to get them to Yom Suf. So don't bring the Yom Suf. Bring the Yom Suf to them. I mean, God can do whatever he wants. He could flood Mitzrayim. He could burn it in fire. Meaning, right, there's still sort of underlying the whole question here is this possibility that... Or is not the possibility. Is the real question, which is why did God... Why did God... Clearly, God wanted it to be deceptive. Right, meaning you can give all your local terutzim of why you had to deceive him, but in the end of the day, right, God could have just said, "I have no interest in deceiving you. I'll just annihilate you." Right, meaning, look, Makir Bechorah didn't have to be only the firstborns. He could have just said, "Forget it. I'll just kill all of you." Right, overnight, done. Right, send them Malach HaMaves, and you know the Jews wake up in the morning. There are no Egyptians, and you know. Either they leave or whatever. You know, Egypt becomes the southern extension of the Sinai Desert of you know, of Israel. I don't know. Whatever, right? Yeah. God has infinite possibilities, so why trick them? So as I once heard from my Leipzig, and as I look here on the Allah Torah, they quote the same thing from the Znaim LaTorah, and I think it is probably the best explanation that we would have, is that it's part of the Mida Neged Mida that we see in the Makot in general. Because the beginning of the slavery story is an extensive story of not just enslavement, but
deception.
Hava nidchak malo, right? Let's trick them. And the way the Midrashim develop it. Right? The Midrashim go very much into this. That they, right, first they had everybody work for the king, and then slowly the Egyptians stopped working, and the Jews had to keep working, and they slowly removed their salaries, and, right, all the things in the Midrashim. But even if you don't go the Midrashic route, in Pshat, Hava Nechak Malo, right, let's find some way of tricking them. Let us tell the Mialdot that they'll kill, or cause, either kill the baby boys as soon as they're born, or maybe... You know, cause them to miscarry the boys, or be born, you know, or kill them in the womb. Whatever exactly you think is happening there, but that the Jews won't know, right? Meaning, he doesn't just start it off by saying, "Let's kill you all," right? He tricks them into slavery. He tricks them into thinking that he tries to trick them into thinking that the males are just dying without realizing that it's murder, right? Part of the plan was that he didn't want to be above board about it, and he wanted to do it all deceptively, and that is part of the original crime, and therefore, What may justify this approach, which again I think is the majority view in the Rishonim, which is that, again, regardless of what you think the payment of the money is, and regardless of what you think, that in the end of the day this was meant to trick them, I think that is going to be the best explanation of why that would be, right? Is because they deserved it, right? As part of the Midah Keneged Midah, they didn't just deserve to be punished, they deserved to experience deception. And that is, I think, in the end of the day, what you would have to say, I think, to justify this approach, which really says, yeah, there is deception. And again, there are all these variances on exactly what it is, right? You know, and the Mefarshim divide on how deep was deception, right? The Abarbanel says that taking that wilderness route was also part of the deception, right? It wasn't just the not turning 3 days, it was everything from the way they took the route they took, the way they asked for money, right? It's everything, right? Meaning there are so many levels to this deception once you go down this route that I really do think you need some sort of theological explanation for it. Okay, so that is the end of our 4-day summary, really over summary. If you want to see very extensive things on this, you can look at the two very long pieces in Alatara where they'll go. You can see every Rishon and Acharon inside. And then tomorrow maybe we'll talk about, again, we may have talked this last year, but the possibility that in the end of the day there was a 3-day journey, that despite all this, that in fact is part of the plan, right? And that may be Mara, and maybe talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Cool.